Hey sisters, if you're looking for a safe space where you can be free and authentic, then you have come to the right space. I am your host, Yana, and here at Awaken Woman 2020, we are all about being transparent and doing the work to be our best selves. This channel will challenge you to be authentic, honest, and truthful to yourself. It won't always be easy working through life's issues, but I can guarantee when you do the work, you will come out saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and you will know that strength and honor are your clothing. Our life is abundant, and we should enjoy the fruits of it. All right, family, stay tuned. Blessings, family, and welcome back to another episode of Awaken Woman 2020. I am your host, Yana, and welcome to the podcast. I hope this podcast reaches you well. I hope you're prospering even as your soul prospers. So happy whatever day it is that you're listening to this podcast. I am a little bit under the weather, so please bear with me, family. But I'm going to get through this. Before we do that, I just want to jump into a scripture of the week, which can be found in Psalms 9 and 10. It says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, has not forsaken them to seek thee. I just want to say that what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me, is that God is a title. It is not his name. So the Holy Spirit has revealed to me is that the reason why I call God Yahuwah, or I call him Yahweh, or I call him one of the names that's based on his characteristics. If you read the Bible, you would know that when my godmother got me a Bible that's called the Names of God Bible some years ago. And when she was teaching me, attempting to teach me Hebrew language, God has a name, and when you know his name, like Yahuwah Tishbaot, means that the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. So when you're going through a challenging situation and you need God to fight for you, you say, Yahuwah Tishbaot, Father, I thank you, Yahuwah Tishbaot, for fighting for me, or Jehovah Jireh, when you need him to be your provider, when you need him to be a comfort, like you call on the name of God. Call on a name, El Roye, which means the God who sees me. So when you're going through something, you feel like you're being forsaken. I thank you that you're El Roye. God was talking in that passage when he's called El Roye. He was talking to Hagar, who was an Egyptian woman. She wasn't even an Israelite woman. She was saying that you see me. So I just wanted to share that little piece of wisdom that the Holy Spirit taught me in the secret place of prayer. That when you're going through something challenging, call on the name of God to fit the characteristic of what you need him to be in your life. Because again, God is a title. It is not his name. He is God, but that's a title. Like anybody, anything could be your God. So I just like to be specific. That's not a right or wrong way if you pray that way. I'm just wanting to share something that the Holy Spirit revealed to me in private. So of course, do what you do. I just want to share that bit. So what we're going to be talking about today, since I've been talking about marriages, we're going to talk about Portia and Simon and this whole debacle going on with them. We're not sipping no tea. This isn't no gossip. I don't have no gossip. I'm not about to be in nobody's business, doing no busybody. I just wanted to point out a few things that, just a little food for thought that I picked up on. So if you know who Portia Williams or Gabbadia and Simon is, they're two. Well, Portia's a reality star that was on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because she was her friend to the show, another woman on the show. Portia's now married to that woman's husband. The girl Fallon was introduced to the show as Portia's friend with her husband Simon, who's now Portia's husband. Okay. Even just that little brief synopsis is just trifling, okay? Where do we start? Okay, I have some notes for this one. So the first thing I want to say is, what does marriage mean anymore? I mean, I'm not going to be talking about Simon because this is a ladies' podcast. So I'm going to be talking about Portia. I'm talking about the girl code. I'm talking about integrity. I'm talking about just the boundaries of marriage. So does marriage mean anything anymore? We see so many people. It's just really unfortunate that what God ordained as something sacred is now just being, you know, I'll date somebody a little bit. I'll try it out for a little bit. And then if it don't work, I'm going to just send them up the road. My husband and I went to Williams, Arizona, which is a little small town in Arizona. I think it was for a work event, his work event. We went to up to the weekend to Williams, and we were in a wine bar. And we were getting some wine that was made in Williams. So we were in there buying this wine. And this young girl was in there, and we started making conversation with her and talking. And she was telling me how she's got in her vehicle and just started driving. That's always been a dream of mine, is to just gas up the car, get in the car and ride. Like, babe, where are we going? East, west, north, south? Let's just go. And then wherever, and we just stop throughout places and eat. You know, I just wanted to do that. That's always been a dream of mine. So when I'm talking to her, I told her, that's always been a dream of mine. I've always wanted to do that. She was like, okay, yeah, well, post-divorce, you can do that. She's like, you know, she just said it so casually. And she said it so casually in the conversation and kept moving along. I was stuck. Like, did this girl just tell me post-divorce I can do it? Like, yeah, you know, post-divorce you can do it. It would be something fun for you to just, like, clear your mind. As if, like, divorce is an option. I got married and divorce wasn't an option. Divorce what? I have to bind that up right there. Like, what you mean divorce, post-divorce? But the fact that she was probably, like, 25. This 25-year-old woman, young adult. Well, that's not, is that considered a young adult? This 25-year-old woman, divorce was already like, people get married and you get divorced. You hang out for a little bit, you raise your children together or not, and then you get a divorce and move on. And it was really sad because, again, this is a sacred covenant that God made called marriage. But it means nothing anymore. Just, you know, it's basically lust. Like, I want to date you long term. I want to say that I date you long term and it's just you and I, but people got these open marriages these days. It's just so much foolishness going on. Like, does marriage mean anything? But one of the things is that we shouldn't covet what nobody have. Portia seen this woman who had a private jet. The man, it looked like they were living the life, but that woman knew that they really didn't have no money. Now, I said in another episode that people sometimes get married and their wedding lasts longer than the marriage. I never followed it. I was very from my understanding, Portia was like a church girl when she was married to her first husband. And now she claims to be the princess of Thoughtlandia. I was just really disappointed, but I never followed her wedding or the special. I don't know if they did a special or not. But by the time I've seen, she's married to a Nigerian man. I'm married to a Ghanaian man. So I know that the wedding celebrations are just amazing, over the top. The first time I seen her wedding pictures is because of this whole divorce situation. Someone told me one time, like somebody envies, you know, people envy my marriage, not me. This someone was saying, people envy my marriage and people say that they want what I have. And that's a red flag. Absolutely not. You should never want what nobody else have. You should never want nobody else's marriage because you don't know what goes on in that person's marriage. You just know what you see. And that's what happened here with this Portia situation, is that she looked up over there and thought that that lady had some well-watered grass and didn't know it was artificial grass over there. I'm not throwing shade. I'm saying that this is what happens. We look in other people's yard and think they have it going on, and we don't know that either they have a high water bill, surrounded in debt, or they got artificial grass, or they just really are blessed by God, and they're not about to let your behind swindle up in their marriage and destroy what God put together. And so often, it's like the norm to want what other people have. Even so much like I have been guilty of this. I had to check myself. Not want nobody else's marriage. I'm good with what I have with my husband. But looking and seeing like, oh, that person's well off in their career. I wish I was well off in my career. Oh, this person has this. This person's well established. And I don't know what lonely days those people have behind closed doors. I don't know what drives them to be successful. I don't know if they have, we're told they'll never be anything. So their confidence or whatever it may be. A lot of times we look into other people's lives and want what they have. But does that fit for what God is taking you, where God is taking you, and what God wants for you? Coveting what that woman has and then get it and then has this. This is embarrassing. I have secondhand embarrassment for her. But my mom always told me that God would rather you be publicly shamed so you could repent than for you to be privately boastful and prideful. And you know, pride comes before the fall. Like, God would rather you be humbled in public if he can't get your attention behind closed doors. You can't tell me that if you just have even a little bit of God in you, that God isn't correcting you and telling you behind closed doors. Like, listen, I know I'm going to only speak for me. When I'm out of pocket, out of line, God will warn me. He may even show me in a dream. Oh, my Lord, y'all know I dream. He'll show me in a dream. Check that. Get that under control. Even stuff that I may not even know is an issue. I don't even know sometimes that God don't like my attitude until he check me in my secret place of prayer, or he'll show me a dream. He will show me a dream and he will show me. Well, that's what I ask y'all to pray for yourself, is that God show me how you see me. I told y'all in the beginning of the podcast, this session, this season, that I used to ask God, Lord, show me how other people see me. And God said, no, I'm going to show you how I see you. God don't have no rose-colored glasses when it comes to us. He will show us us. And you will never convince me that God wasn't trying to show this young woman behind closed doors before she got in this entanglement with this man. But that was your friend's husband. Whether it was your friend for a month, a week, or a day, that was your friend's husband. You swam in that lady's pool at her home with her husband. You have been in pictures with that woman at that woman's husband's nightclub or restaurant or whatever the heck that man had or something he had. You went around that woman and that woman's husband. That should have been an automatic, absolutely not. Absolutely not will I date this man. And I'm not going to sit up here and act like I've been always holy. I ain't never dated nobody's husband now. But I'm not going to act like I don't have faults. But I'm going to call out what needs to be called out, because we have to have some type of integrity and girl code. Like, even for the fact of girl code, does that mean anything? Why would you date this man when that was that girl's husband? Yes, they were friends. Whether, like I said, it don't even matter. If they were just friends for the show, but you portrayed yourself friendly, but you plotting on that woman's plotting on that woman to take her husband. This is why I'm so big on, I've learned a very good lesson about calling everybody a friend. I don't run around here calling everybody a friend no more. I done had people I thought was friends, had a whole butcher knife behind their back. Okay. And it's just the grace of God that the Lord has shown me people's faces in my dreams. Even my mama one time was like, I had a dream that one of your friends kicked you in the back. Sure did tell me that. Sure did. The Lord has shown you. I had a dream one time that I was somewhere in a bunch of items. Like, I needed help. Something fell on me. And two of my friends looked at me and turned away. It was only one friend that helped me. Only one. God will show you the faces of your enemies if you ask him. God will show you the faces of your enemies, but you have to be open to when you see it, you see it. And you ask God for wisdom on what you see. If you know you just want to, you just pray and asking God, show me the face of your enemies, and you think he's going to show you your boss. Nah, baby, he going to show you that person that you be calling up in the wee night hours talking to on the phone. I've learned to be sober when it comes to friendships and people I connect myself with. Because this right here, Miss Fallon, thought she could trust this girl because she was smiling in her face and that lady ran off with her husband. But to get back to what we're talking about here is just the lack of integrity. Now this girl's going through this public humiliation because you can't tell me that they had a wedding. Remember I just told y'all? that people's wedding lasts longer than the marriage. I never seen their wedding pictures. Very gorgeous pictures, by the way. I'm married to a Ghanaian man, so I know that it's so colorful. It can be so just over the top. Very beautiful pictures. Very stunning pictures. I think she had about 3 weddings. The wedding lasted longer than a marriage. All these weddings here and there, and they're only to be saying that you're going through a divorce. And I remember, I will never forget the day that this happened. I remember seeing a picture. It was spread throughout all the internet that Portia was hugged up with this woman's husband. And I'm like, what the heck? And I had to read it to figure out what is happening right now. And I remember thinking, this, oh, Portia, this will not end well. I at least thought they was going to get a good 5 years. I wasn't plotting nobody's downfall. I'm going to tell y'all something my mama told me. She said, when you a parent, you don't go running down other people's children or other people's parenting. So when you a wife, you don't go running down other people's marriage. Don't want nobody marriage to end up in divorce court. Don't want nobody marriage to fail, because you're a wife too. Things may be good and gravy right now, but the enemy will come when you open the door. Give a little food for thought when we listening to these gossip channels and sipping people's tea all day long. I don't think none of us is doing that, but I'm just saying, okay? When you do that, you giving permission that I'm okay with people's business being spilled. So you should also be okay that if your business is being spilled, just because these people are celebrities does not give us permission. So this is all I'm focusing on with them. I'm not going down a rabbit hole of why they divorced and all that other stuff. That's none of my business. That's between them two people. But when we open the door to want to be spying in on people's business and what's the nitty gritty, what's the dirt, what's the tea in people's marriage or people's business, we open the door that it's free game, that we okay with that being done to us, because whatever you do unto other people will be done unto you. God will not be mocked. If it is okay what they say, if it's good, good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Or am I saying that backwards? The Holy Spirit, recently this year, there's a sister in the Lord who prophesied some things that has come to pass. A lot of things she's prophesied has come to pass. But when this was a bigger story and people were saying, oh, she's a false prophet, we're exposing her and blah, blah, blah. And I remember being so disturbed by that. And I'm like, what in the heck could they prophesy, like expose about this woman? But before I could even finish the thought, when you have the Holy Spirit and you have a real relationship with God, there's conversations that happen. And he told me that if you go look up anything about her, any exposure about her, I will make sure that when your day comes, that a day comes where you will be exposed as well. I know y'all may not like what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. I know that God is portrayed as such a loving God, and he is. He is so merciful. He is so gracious. He loves us with the everlasting love. But this God also do not play about his people. This God does not play. If you know anything about the Bible, then you know that about 80-90% of the Bible is about the Israelites. The book of the Bible is talking about the Israelites. Now, yes, Gentiles have been grafted into this covenant. However, the Bible is a history about the Israelites. It talks about point to point to point about the Israelites. Okay, I know that may not be talked in popular circles, church circles, but this is the God honest truth. It's about the Israelites. When they continue to disobey God, when they continue to go chase after idols and go chase after, you know, do all this other foolishness, God sent them to slavery after slavery after slavery after slavery after slavery, and to this final slavery where the descendants of Israel are scattered to the four corners of the earth and lost somewhere in the tribe, the lost 10 tribes. There's descendants like myself of the tribe of Israel right here in America, right here to the four corners of the earth. The children of Israel, God's chosen people. Now, like I said, Gentiles can be grafted in. I don't believe in that word, you know, only Israel gonna be saved. That's just not my belief system. But I truly wholeheartedly believe and know that I am a descendant of Israel. Okay? And look what the shape we in today. So if God can do that to his people, we have to understand that God told me one day I would just pray. And it's so amazing. I know I'm going off tangent, but y'all, if you're new to the podcast, welcome to the tangents, because I will go off on a tangent somewhere. But I'm going to come back, but I'm going to go off on a tangent real quick. It's interesting. It never fails to amaze me how when you spend time with God in private, how God will reveal things that you're not even asking him about. I've been seeking God for some things in my life lately. And I'm like, Lord, are you not hearing me be about this? Because you keep talking about something else. I want us to stick to the point at hand. But nevertheless, I don't say that. I just go with him because clearly he knows what I'm going through and what I need. And he want to say something to me. And this, y'all may not like this. Y'all may think God didn't say that, but he said it. I was praying and I just worshiped God in the private place. I sing to him, y'all. Y'all know I was trying to sing on the last video. My voice was gone, but I was trying to sing. I be singing over here with him, y'all. I was singing and I was praising him and I was thanking him. And I was just like, Lord, you're just so this and that. You're so kind. You're so gentle. Lord, I thank you that you delivered us out of whatever, you know, our situation. Lord, I thank you that you've done this. Lord, I thank you that you are a redeemer. I thank you that you're a comforter. Just praising him. And I just began to, you know, God want to talk too. You got to be quiet. So I just began to just let him speak to me. And he's speaking to me things. And he said to me, you know, Yana, I'm not as loving as they portray. I know you don't think he said that, but he said it. Is that I have a code of righteousness. This is what he's saying to me. They come to me, heart so filthy. Don't even come to me with repentance. Don't even say, Lord, I repent for what I just did. You know, laying up fornicating, laying up doing all sorts of stuff. And they just come to me. They just kick down the door. God, can you give me a new car? God, can you increase my pay? God, can he was like, people, I'm not as loving as they think. That do you not think that you should come before? You could come boldly before me. But we're clothed in his son, Yeshua, Jesus, righteousness, walking in righteousness before him. You may not think he said it, but I'm going to say it again. God is not as loving as we want to paint him out to be. He's just so loving that he don't care about our sin. He's just so loving that, you know, he'll do this and he'll do that for me. You know, God is a God of love and God is a God of love, but God also is a God of righteousness. He's also a God of justice. And that is why we get dealt with when we don't want to repent and turn from sin. That is why we see people get dealt with. Because they don't want to repent and turn away from sin. That is why America, as I know y'all may, whatever, is going to be dealt with for what they've done, the sin that's in America. I can't talk about no other nation. He hasn't spoke to me about that. I can only speak about what he's talked to me about. I'm not going to get to lying now. But God is a God of justice and righteousness. And his word will not return void, that whatever you will reap what you sow. And this is something I wanted to touch on, and I always forgot to say it, or I never thought about it. It didn't come to mind at the time. But I want us to be careful. This year, there's been a lot of exposure, and I've heard many people say, this is a year of exposure. People are being exposed. But let's just make sure that we have our house cleansed. Our house is clean. Lord, forgive me for when I did X, Y, and Z. Lord, forgive me for what I'm currently doing. Lord, I repent. And repent means to having a change in your posture, your heart posture. If you walk into sin, turn and go the other way. Don't even look back at what used to be. I used to sin, but I don't even think about the stuff I used to do back then. I don't, oh yeah, girl, remember when you whoop-whop? No. I look back at pictures. One of my friends is no longer here. And I look back and say, wow, we had some good times, but I don't let my mind go to what, you know, all that partying and drinking and stuff. I'm walking this way. I can't be worried about what I can't be focused on what I used to do back then. Or then I'd be a dog going back to my vomit. Man, I did have some good days. Man, I remember when you said I drink this. Man, I remember when this song. I'm not saying that I don't still, you know, my husband and I, we be at the club all the time in this house. We turn on a little music and we get to dance. And I always tell my friends, the club be right here in the house. Put the babies down to sleep and we have a good old time. Okay, just the two of us. That's our club these days. And I enjoy it too. But when we talking about people being exposed, we need to make sure that we clean our house. Because we don't want exposure to come to our house. And I want us to be very cautious that when we sipping tea and sipping other people's business, that we allow the door to be open for someone to come sip our tea. Because after all, sipping is cool. Like, we sipping somebody else's tea. So we should be mindful when we do that, right? So envying other people's marriage. We should never want what other people have. Be content with what you have, whatever it is that you have. It's great to look at someone's, what someone has, and say, wow, they're really blessed. But make sure that we don't begin to covet what they have, want possession of what they have. And that's what happened to our sister girl. She seen that this woman had and thought, you know what, I want that. And she got it. And now going through an embarrassing, this public divorce. Everybody want to know. And like I said, I remember thinking, wow, this is not going to end well. This is not going to end well. You married this man and he married you for all the wrong reasons. Why would you even put yourself in that type of predicament? Now, I'm going to say this because this is pressed upon my spirit. I don't know if this fits anybody who's listening now or may listen in the future. I don't have a heaven nor hell to put you in, and I'm not condemning you. But if you know that you've done some shady, trifling stuff, repent before the Most High God. Lord, that was not right when I did this, Father. I know it's not right. I acknowledge that this wasn't right. And I ask you to forgive me and to help me not do these things again. Guide me in the way of your truth and guide me in the way of what's right. Some of us have broken up marriages. Some of us have taken somebody else's husband. Some of us have done things that just isn't right. But that's why we go before the Lord and repent. That's why it's important. I'll never forget my godmother a long time ago. Maybe about like 65. Oh gosh, it had to be longer than that. Like maybe 7 years ago, I was at her house and I don't remember what we were talking about. But she said to me, you know, Yana, I lived a real trifling, reckless life. And I have done so many things that God can expose me on that I don't talk about nobody. I just pray for people because I know how jacked up I was. And when she began to tell me her testimony, I would have never imagined that looking at this beautiful, virtuous woman. When you think of a virtuous woman, like, this is who comes to mind. Like, you know, outside of my mother and my family, like the women in my family, like, she just represents like a royal, like one of God's children. Like, oh yes, that's one of his daughters. I would have never imagined the things she shared with me. I would have never even thought that was remotely close to what she used to do back in the day. And she said, this is why I can't talk about nobody. Because I know how God cleaned up my life. I pray for people. And we all have a skeleton or two or three in the closet, under the bed, in the trunk, in the dresser drawers. Oh, we've all done some stuff that we're not proud of and that we would rather keep in the closet. Whether these are things that you repented before God about, but still we don't want the world knowing. We've all done some stuff that's like, I'd rather just, you know, tend to my business. So let's be mindful when we sip in other people's tea. Let's be mindful as married women that we don't go running down other people's marriage and wanting divorce for other people. Because we wouldn't want nobody wanting that for us. We don't want nobody secretly plotting and chanting for us to be divorced or us to have some wayward children. I had to pray to work with some of the children I've worked with in life. That's my passion, working with youth. I've had to pray for strength, but I would never call no child bad. That child bad, no. I would never speak that. Because I'm raising up children and I don't want nobody speaking nothing over my children. I'm very clear. I'm very adamant about that. I'm very adamant. I don't let nobody speak nothing over my children, whether jokingly, because you can say something negative in a laughing manner about laughing about somebody, but nevertheless, you spoke something negative over someone. I don't let nobody do that to my children. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. You're not speaking nothing negative on my children. You're not speaking nothing negative over my marriage. That's why you got to keep things private. Keep your business in-house. Pray for God to show you the faces of your enemies so you don't have a Fallon Portia situation and this girl running off with your husband. Okay, that was just a big mess, that whole situation in general. But still, what was the points I wanted to touch on? I think I touched on anything, but I just want to talk about girl code. Can we bring that back? Can we bring back integrity? Can we bring back the days when marriage meant something? When you get married because this is the person that you know that God designed for you. This is the person that you know you can see the purpose of God in your life together. Can we, in whatever reason God have on you, I'm not a marriage counselor. You know, I'm just talking about the things. I can only speak from my view, right? From what God has shown me, revealed to me. So I just wanted to touch on that because this is something that's all being spread. This is something that's going on. I don't foresee a reason to come touch on this again because that would be sipping the people's tea. I don't know if... unless there's something that is like, okay, we need to touch on this because I don't want, this isn't a gossip channel. I just want to touch on this subject because it was so many red flags. Coveting somebody else's husband, marrying for the wrong reasons, envying what other people have to the point that you go get it. And then, I mean, imagine thinking you marrying a wealthy man and realize that his check's bouncing. I don't know if that's the man's situation, but I'm saying that it was 15 months. My husband told me, he says, you got to know people in every season. Now, this isn't true for everybody because some people get meet in a week and they get married the next weekend. I'm not, and they've been married for a long time, 40, 50 years, you know, doing it and doing it well. But my husband said, know a person in every season. Know them when it's summer. Know them when it's the winter. Know them when the fall. What he's saying is know them in different situations. How do they respond? Do they respond or do they react to situations? I've been married 4 years. My anniversary is February 23rd. Praise the Most High. And the Lord took my husband and I through, we knew each other for 12 years, but we were dating for 10. We were dating for an entire decade before God blessed us with our wedding, blessed us in marriage. Let me say that, blessed us in marriage. The wedding is just for witnesses to see. And we got married in a garden. We took it back to Adam and Eve, the covenant of God. And that means something. If you are a married woman, your marriage means something. If you are a single woman wanting to be married, ask God. I pray that God teach us all, even us married women, how to be wives, how to pray for our husbands, pray for our children, how to go into the secret place and labor. I spent 4 hours yesterday just laboring and praying. That may seem... I mean, when you pray alone, for those of us who pray, you know we can be in prayer for a long time. But I just prayed in the closet for 4 hours because everything is good now. And I pray that all will continue to be well. But I have an adversary, an enemy that hates me and loves divorce. So as a married woman, we got to cover our marriages in prayer. Our families in prayer. Tend to the affairs of our household. And I'm going to say I promise you this. I could promise you if you are diligent in prayer, diligent in seeking the face of the Most High God, he will show you things that you need to pay closer attention to regarding your family. He'll show you so many. If I can't share what God has shown me because that would be inappropriate. But I can share things he gives me permission to share. And I can say God has shown me so much pertaining to my marriage and the affairs of my household, things to be mindful of, in ways to submit to my husband, in ways to submit. You know, God will really speak to you. You know when they say that commercial, it's like you have a friend. If you go buy diamonds from this business, like you have a friend in the diamond business. It's like you have a friend that knows everything. And he'll show you your enemies. He'll show you enemies against your marriage. He'll show you enemies against your household. He will tell you specifically. In my dream, it was a Uber driver. an Uber driver. In my dream, it was an Uber driver. And I've never seen the man's face. I don't know what the man looked like. I kind of seen like a shadow of the man, but I don't know what the man looked like. I just remember that I was an Uber driver and I was in the back of the, if you get in the Uber. And the Uber driver said to me, "You cannot trust blank." And he said the person's name. "Don't trust that person." And he began to speak to me about stuff that it pierced my heart in the dream, because everything he was saying is what I knew in my inner being, but I rejected it. I didn't want to know it. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to hear it. And the dream ended immediately. It was a few things. I don't even think I was dropped off at the destination, but dreams are so symbolic. Uber driver, I'm not going to break the dream down. The whole point is the Holy Spirit was leading me, showing me and telling me, you can't trust this person. You trust that person. You open yourself up to this person. You share things with this person, but you can't trust that person. Be mindful of what you share and be mindful of your when you're in the presence of that person. Limit that. Cut it off. We don't got to turn, I used to be bad about this, y'all. I thank the Lord he changed me. The Lord will say this is when maturity, when God will show you something and you so antsy, you jump off and do it. God will show me something about somebody and I will cut them off. Next thing y'all know, I done blocked them, deleted them off of Facebook. They can't answer my, that ain't how you do stuff. That ain't right. And I've done this so many times. I have hurt people and I have to go back and apologize later in life because of that blunt force way to cut people off. You can do it in love. Now, if someone's doing some stuff, you got to go seek the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to do a one size fits all, but I used to do that. And God said, that's not right. Daughter, that's not how I would have you do it. That's not how I would have you do it. But I'm going to end it right here. I don't want to go off on any tangent on something else. But Yahuwah, Elohim, in the name of your son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you teach us how to be wives. Teach us how to be sisters. Teach us how to be our sister's keeper. Teach us how to be women of integrity, virtuous women, Father. I pray that every woman and man listening to this podcast, Father, that you begin to shape and mold us, Father, into who you have designed us to be, Father. We bind up the fragmented, broken woman that allows us to walk in brokenness and hurt other people and walk in lack of integrity. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Yeshua Jesus, Lord God, that you saturate us with your blood, that you transform us, that our entire, when we show up, Father, it's the fragrance of you on our life. Father, I pray and I bind up a spirit of gossip and busybodies and running to get in other people's business and sipping tea, Father, for that is not of you. Lord, I pray this. I pray for health and wholeness over my sisters. I pray for love and just restore them to your original intent. Lord, if there's any sister listening to this podcast or brother that does not know you, Father, I ask that you would make yourself known to them in a very personable way, that they would humble themselves before you so that they can know you intimately as a husband knows a wife and as a wife knows a husband. In the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua, amen. I love y'all, family. Until the next episode, be well. Salt and light. Shalom. Bye.